time for the Molloy Drive Show podcast. Okay, Australia, you know him. You can count on him.
I'm a 50-50 chance.
You love him.
Hello, go to the top shelf, ladies.
And now, it's his show.
Here we go, people.
This is Molloy.
You got that right, big fella. And what a show today. Faceball are playing hardball. What does it mean? I have no idea. Yeah. Dave? How are you?
Oh, going well, thank you. Yeah, it's a big day on the online community. Massive.
It is. We've got an expert, Trevor Long, who's going to come on and explain what it means to everyone out there on FB.
Mm.
Hey, what a lineup today. Short pitch bowling. Is it going to be banned? What's it mean to test cricket?
You'd hate that.
Swervin' Mervin, Merv Hughes, who's bowled the odd short one in his time, will join us to discuss the implications. Who else, Dave?
Jim Jefferies from LA. It's a Thursday tradition and none bigger in the world of comedy than Jim, so yeah, I can't wait to check in.
I can't wait. The latest from Crowded House. It's Yoko Ono's birthday. Whoa. One job. All this and much, much more coming up on the program.
Plus Gone Wild being a Thursday as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, here we go.
For the drive home, this is Molloy.
Merv Hughes, he's going to join us very soon. We've got Jim Jefferies coming in from LA as well, coming in hot.
Forget all that, Dave. What? There's a huge story that I have no idea what it's all about, but everyone I meet is outraged. Everyone says it's the end of the world. It's a seismic change in the digital world.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Facebook has made the stunning move to ban publishers and users in Australia from sharing or viewing any news articles on its platform in response to the Morrison government's hardball tactics, the proposed media bargaining laws. The code, which passed through the House of Representatives on Wednesday night, will require social media companies to pay media outlets for using their content. I'm not on Facebook. I have no idea how it works. Jay, what does this mean to me? Nothing.
Well, I mean, if you were on there, Mick, or maybe your mum is on there, or maybe your sister is on there, and they
what would my mum be doing on Facebook?
Looking at news.
To 84-year-old battle axes.
No, she might be on the marketplace. She might be buying.
She might be looking around. My mom uses Facebook to look at news. Yeah. So you know, they stay in touch with family, and then they also go through what's called their timeline, Mick, checking out all the various things that are being published there by all the news organizations. And the
issue is that where they get their news. Is Facebook a place where people get their daily news? Instead of buying a newspaper or instead of watching the nightly news, you go, I'll go to Facebook and...
The short answer is yes. There'd be heavy users who get their news from Facebook. And then there would be other users who get their news from a variety of things, Facebook and TV.
So are you upset by this?
Me? No. It's a sledgehammer tactic by Facebook, Mick. They just shut things down.
Mm. It's an overreach because, as I understand it, not only have they shut the news branches down, but they've also all publishers.
That's right.
So if you want health information, you want...
Fire Brigade, State Emergency Services.
Jay, you're doing my head in. My brain's exploding. Mick, how better can you explain it?
We have organized an expert for you, Trevor Long. He is the editor of EFTM.com, and Mick, he is here to help you understand what this all means.
Good. Trevor, what's going on?
Mick, if your mum was on Facebook, she might be just using it to get photos of the family or kids and different updates and things. But see, the thing is, Facebook has literally, as you said, taken a sledgehammer to anyone that has anything to do with publishing in Australia. Whether or not you're publishing recipes or hard-hitting news, you can't do it anymore. And everything you have done is gone. Dick pics are fine. But not public. You have to do those via Messenger.
Okay, I got you. So this is interesting. So are they taking it so seriously because this is a bit of a test case for what could happen around the world?
Spot on. They don't want this to happen around the world. They don't want other governments to force them to pay media organisations. And I think they're doing a test here in Australia to see whether it even matters. So if they remove all this from Facebook, and there's a bit of an outcry today, will it last 3 weeks, that outcry? And will Facebook still be able to make millions and millions of dollars in Australia without having to have news on the platform? And if they can prove that, they won't worry about having news ever again.
Will it affect how many people sign up to Facebook? Can you envisage that people will go, you know what, bugger Facebook, I'm off it?
2 years ago, Cambridge Analytica scandal came out where millions of people's personal information had been sold on the internet. That's and right. Facebook was responsible. And everyone said they were going to walk away. None of them did. No one did. And if they did, it was like 1%. And they've grown ever since. No, people are not going to stop using Facebook because of this. And that's what Facebook knows. They've got one up on all of us because it's a drug and we're all addicted. except you.
What if could Facebook ban, say, Jim Smith, who I went to school with in Year 12, from trying to contact me relentlessly?
Oh, right.
No, no one can stop Jim from doing his best to get in touch with you. But you know what they did? They banned Harvey Norman.
Oh, I mean, wow.
It's not even a news website, for crying out loud. It's a page. You know why I reckon it was? Because so many people get online and complain or want to get stuff from Harvey Norman that it looks like a news site in the way there's so many comments. You know, emergency services. The real problem here is it's Facebook censorship. They're censoring who can provide us with information. And it's just going to create these bubbles. People only reading and listening to certain news, whereas even though Aunt Joan's a nut job, when she when she shared articles, at least I knew what she was reading, you know? But now I don't know what she's reading, and she's probably going down a rabbit hole of fake news and conspiracy theories.
Well, as a paid-up member of QAnon, I'm affected directly by this. And look, I'm not saying I am Q. I'm not saying I'm not Q. I'm just saying, as a paid-up member of QAnon, this wreaks havoc to my lifestyle. Can I say this? Have they not demonstrated through their action the reason why they shouldn't be such a dominant force by trying to bully an entire nation?
You have nailed it in one. They thought this was a strategy to prove how important they were, but what it's done is convinced people that they are far too powerful, and they've created a method of us realizing that they know too much, they create too much, and they're too important in their lives, and we all have to break that habit. I'm still going to use Facebook because my mum, it's the only way she's going to find photos of the kids. But I'm not going to share news because I know where to go. If I want to listen to the news, I turn on the radio. If I want to watch the news, I watch the TV. If I want to read something, there's websites. The websites still exist, folks. Facebook just can't share it. So big middle finger to Facebook, I say.
F you, Facebook. Get off it. That Zuckerberg, he is, you know, if it's one of those guys, if he'd never been born, the world might be a better place. That thing, by the way, Facebook has caused coups in certain countries.
Look at the US.
It's behaved immorally in so many ways.
Oh, but they're important to the fabric of society, Mick.
Well, I've had enough. Look into your crystal ball and tell me who wins this wrangle. Where are we in 6 months? Have the Australian government capitulated, or have they started a spark that may ignite the whole world?
I reckon the government wins this one, and Facebook compromises in a small way where they allow a bunch of smaller stuff on, but they essentially ban the big media until they come up with better contract terms with them.
All right, well, get on my fledgling Mick book, which is coming out.
Okay.
I thought you were running my Mick.
MySpace. Get back on MySpace. There you go. It could be a rear guard action. Hey, thanks, Trevor, for breaking it down to a radio idiot. We'll pass on all that to our listeners so you can make their own assessments. Yeah. Thanks for joining
us
today,
Mick.
Mate.
No worries, boys.
EFTM.com is where you find Trevor Long. This is Malloy on Triple M.
Get with the program, Toots. This is Malloy.
Coming up, Jim Jefferies going to check in with Swerve and Merv. He's coming up too. And the song Whisperer as well.
There's your comedy. There's your sport. Time for a bit of rock and a bit of music news. Firstly, before we get to the big one, happy birthday, Yoko Ono.
Yoko Ono, yeah.
Born this day on the 18th of February, 1933. A performance artist. He's done some amazing things. A polarizing figure, of course. Yoko's become a byword for someone who destroys stuff we like.
Breaking up the band,
Married to John Lennon, of course. And she had a crack at his great single. Was it Imagine?
Yeah. Here's Yoko Ono.
Imagine there's no heaven.
John's probably looking down now.
It's easy.
Rolling.
If you try. No hell below us.
It's a certain taste, isn't it, for her music? Yes.
Above us on this sky.
She's added to it.
Yeah.
She's taken it to the next level.
Something.
Imagine all the people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Living for today.
Oh, I didn't even get that.
Not bad, but let's get to the main course. We're mucking around there, but this is great news for anyone who loves music and loves, I'm going to call it Australasian music because they're New Zealand, but we'll have them.
Yeah.
The great Crowded House, who we've been listening to, have given us so much joy over the years. Favourite Crowded House song, Dave?
Or I think Distant Sun, possibly.
I think that's for me as well.
Right,
There's so many good ones to choose from. Got new music out.
Yeah, new album.
And I'm looking forward to it, of course. Paul Hester was a friend of mine.
He was,
I always think of him every time I hear their songs. every time. Hey, I think about them every. I think about him every time I hear Midnight Oil. One of my favourite stories with Paul was when he had Rob Hurst ring him up and said, "Mate, I've done my arm. Can you fill in for me on the Oils tour?"
Big job.
And he said, "Oh, mate, I'm doing it." I go, "Have you thought this through, mate? Because you usually sit up the back with the brushes.
Yeah, that's it.
With the thing." I said, "But they bang it out." Anyway, I ran into him afterwards and said, "How do you go?" He goes, "Those guys are nuts." I reckon two songs in and his lungs were coming out his ears and he broke it into a sweat.
That's awesome.
But they continue to keep coming. What have we got here?
Well, we're going to play a new song from the new album, so Dreamers Are Waiting. Now, it was last year on this show that we spoke with Neil Finn.
Neil Finn.
When the first single was released, but at that stage, we didn't know what the name of the record was, and I think he kind of let slip on this show. Have a listen.
There's an album on the way. It's called Dreamers Are Waiting.
Okay.
We're probably waiting a little longer than we thought, but it's going to be out early next year. We're just trying to get them to give us a date for when the vinyl can get pressed.
Okay.
Because we're intent on having that available on release.
Well, that was Neil from last year. Now,
and it hadn't been released, has it?
No. That was a bombshell. I don't think even the record company hang on a minute, Neil. What have you done? And he said earlier in the year, but I can tell you June 4 is the official release date. So mid-year for the new album. So, yeah.
What do you got there, Dave?
We got a new song from it, though, and this is an exclusive. This is the first time on radio anywhere to be heard. It's called To The Island. Let's play it. It is Crowded House from the forthcoming record Dream. Dreamers Are Waiting, June 4 this year.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
It's called To The Island, and it's a real family affair, Mick, with the Finns, because you've got Liam Finn part of the band now, and you've got, the nephew, Elroy. Tim's son is also playing with the band along with Nick Seymour. So,
like a modern-day Partridge Family.
It kind of is, isn't it?
Yeah. Who's there, Reuben Kincaid? I'd like to know who's there. Reuben Kincaid. Hey, so we've got a call.
Yeah, we have got a call. He wants to talk to you about something.
What's your problem, mate?
Hey there, boys. I just heard you play Yoko Ono's version of Imagine.
Mm. Oh, did you love it?
I reckon, Mickey, you should do a cover of Yoko Ono's cover of Imagine.
Well, he did of Nirvana.
I'll take it, vintage, wow.
You'd remember this, Dan?
That's what got me thinking. I thought there's so much quality there. I reckon we should expand the repertoire.
Sure. Get stuffed, Dan.
No, case of Brick Lane. Dan, we'll sort you out. Thanks for calling from Penrith.
By the way, that was my cover of Puddle of Mud's cover of Nirvana's cover of their own song about a girl.
Yeah.
There it is. Time for a bit of this.
You had one job.
You had one job.
You had one job.
And you pinheads screwed it up!
Oh, I like this.
133353. We love getting our listeners involved in this. Who had one job and stuffed it up? I'll start, if you don't mind, guys.
Go for it.
There's a funeral parlour in southwest Sydney that buried the wrong body.
Oh.
One job to do here.
No.
So two families in southwest Sydney's Greek community have been left shocked after the bodies of two elderly men were accidentally swapped by a local funeral home. I think we've got the story here.
One family was paying their respects to their loved one when the daughter of the deceased decided to pay her respects by opening up the casket when she realised it was the wrong body.
My daughter said, "Mom, not my father's this one. Another man. You know, terrible things happen."
Express my most sincerest apologies. I wish I could turn it back for the families. I can't. I understand the trauma it's caused.
That's terrible.
Mate. Again, you're a funeral operator. You got one job.
How do you mix it up, though? I don't get that. Like, how does that happen?
Line, mate. Hey, someone's going to get their ass kicked.
Yeah.
Hey, never have an open coffin.
No.
That's not a bad one. Have you got one, Dave?
I do. I've a one job to the dentist.
One job to do here.
So my daughter, now she's got the braces off last year, but when you get your braces off, people will know that sometimes you've got to get a retainer, kind of just sort of you put it in during the day and then you take it out when you have food and stuff. So my daughter, we paid, $600-$700 for this retainer.
Jeez.
Lasted a month.
You had one job.
Broke into about three pieces. Terrible.
Dave, are you sure it's a retainer? You haven't just gone and bought those lolly teeth from the milk bar, have you?
And
popped those in
If something's going in your mouth and it's, and then the dentist's going, has she been grinding her teeth? No, you just got a dodgy product.
Had, one job to do here.
Well, Dave, you've had one job.
What?
And I think you've stuffed it up. Let's go to Phil. Phil on the line.
What are you talking about?
What are you adding, Phil?
Mate, both Elroy and Liam are Neil's sons, not his nephew.
You had one job. I knew Liam was... I thought Elroy was...
Aren't you DJ of the century? Didn't you win some award? Didn't you go to Reading to interview Liam Neeson? Haven't you sat at the end of John Bon Jovi's bed? You can't, in your own backyard, get Neil Finn's sons.
I know one of Tim Finn's kids plays music and the other one doesn't.
You got it wrong, mate. Sue's on the line. Sue, what did you want to add?
Sue, stop it. What?
Well, I just wanted to clarify that Liam and Elroy are both Neil's sons. You had
one job. Yeah, I knew Liam was Neil. Yeah, okay, go on.
Well, Sue, you're right.
Children that are both into music as well.
Oh, my
and,
God.
How do you know this? Are you like part of the family?
Hey, don't turn on the listeners, Dave.
I feel as though I'm part of the family, but Harper and Elliot are Tim's children.
Harper and Elliot. That's who I was, not Elroy, Elliot. That's who I was thinking of. Apologies. I'm so sorry, Sue. I'm terribly
but
sorry.
But Crowded House have Liam and Elroy, both of
gotcha.
Sue, yeah. A slab of Brick Lane that. Coming your way, a slab of Brick Lane in the draft. And Dave, give her a voucher, please.
$100 for whatever you want to spend with, a gift voucher coming your way.
You can go and buy some Crowded House records. And
yeah.
All right, I'll get a few more.
Good on you, Sue.
Not like for you to get something wrong, by the way.
For the call. You get the idea, people. Yeah. We want to know. One job, 133353.
Yeah, give us a ring right now. All right, let's play some AC/DC.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah, this is Shot in the Dark. This is Malloy.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
You had one job.
You had one job.
You had one job.
And you pinhead screwed it up!
133353, we've got some callers on the line. We're about to get to you, but in the meantime, I'd like to... Here's another one job for you. At least 30 Taliban militants have died in Afghanistan after they blew themselves up during a bomb-making class.
You had, like, one job to do here.
That's a risky job, though.
Okay, risky, I'm just going to say... No one's passing that class.
No way.
In making a bomb, you're teaching them how to make bombs. And there go your suicide bombers. So you've blown them all up together in the one room. What a waste of resources.
Jesus.
No one's chucking their hat in the air or graduating from the Taliban bomb-making class.
No, you don't want to go to that one.
Of 2021. Oh, good Lord. Jesus. Hey, let's go to the callers. Yeah. Richard's on the line. Richard, who had one job?
Ash Barty.
You had one job to do here.
She was meant to win. She let herself down. She let her country down. No, the weight of a nation crushed her. She'll be back. I'll tell you, she's got one job. That's the rules committee to change that rule, it's a flat-out cheat. Give Richard a case of Brick Lane.
There you go, Richard. Well done, mate.
Chris is on the line. Chris, who had one job?
Oh, Dan Andrews, mate.
Oh.
One job. You're about our 10,000th caller to say Dan Andrews, and you're talking about keeping Victoria safe from these quarantine hotel outbreaks. Am I right?
I am, mate. If you had just taken some note from New Zealand, we would have been through this about 12 months ago.
Yeah, I think we're done now. We've had enough. And here's what I have an issue with right now.
Right.
So, as someone who lives in Victoria, you're allowed to go out in public and have a picnic or outdoors no more than 20 people.
Mm.
Yet if you want to go to the tennis, you'll be surrounded by 7,477.
It makes no sense.
How the hell
does
that work?
None of them have got the virus, Mickey. None of them have got the virus.
That'll be right.
Yeah.
Also, your kid can't go to school, but he can go to the tennis as a ball boy.
That makes no sense. You had one
job. Come on, Dan.
Mm.
Harden up, do the right thing. You're starting to give us the shits. Steve's on the line. Steve, who had one job?
Mate, if you're a helicopter pilot, what would your one job be, Mickey?
Well, don't hit anything, I'd say.
Yeah.
So, what's happened?
That's exactly what the Special Forces Black Hawk helicopter pilot did last night.
Okay. What did he hit?
Yeah, he's dumped. They've been doing a nighttime exercise in Sydney Harbour. Yeah. He's hit the helicopter. Helicopter's hit the boat. They've had to dump it in Watson's Bay Park.
Oh, no.
When your helicopter pilot comes back soaking wet, you know something's gone.
Yeah.
Horribly wrong. I've been in a Black Hawk helicopter, I can honestly say. Yeah, and they don't laugh at the phrase, when you're in it, Black Hawk down. Do you know who's got one job and I get really angry with?
Who's that?
That's the Westpac helicopter, which is the rescue helicopter.
You have problems with it.
I do, because I bank with Westpac.
Yes.
And I feel we should only save people who bank with Westpac.
I have one job to do here.
The helicopter should come down over the boat and you ring out and go, who do you bank with?
And if they say customer.
If they say Westpac, we save them. If they don't, we just take off.
No.
Come on. My money's all going right. towards that. Okay, hey, give him a slab.
Oh, a slab of Brick Lane for Steve from Camden. Well done, mate. Appreciate
hey,
that.
I want to go to Dean.
Yeah,
can
sure.
I go to Dean, please?
Hey, Dean.
Dean, who had one job?
So my son had one job to go down
the Woolies. Had one job. And get a, sorry, start again. What did he do?
He had one job to go down to Woolies and get a lettuce. So we were having tacos.
Yep.
But he came back with a cabbage.
Like one job to do here.
So it doesn't go real good with taco
mix. No.
Hey, cabbage taco, anyone?
No.
Oh, that's a very traditional Mexican dish. That is. Oh, mate, hey, give him something, Dave.
Taste a Brick Lane for that and share with your son if he's old enough to.
Coming your way. Sorry to our other callers. We're out of time. We're coming back with what, Dave?
Merv Hughes.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Malloy.
Okay, guys, you know I love cricket. It's been my summer pastime forever. And all the games are great, but Test cricket to me is the greatest sporting contest in the world. It goes over 5 days. There are so it's epic.
There's
so many ebbs and turns.
It can change.
Someone's up, someone's down.
Yeah.
A contest of bat and bowling. Something is being discussed that could change the way Test cricket is played forever. And the MCC, who are the guardian of the laws of cricket, have begun a consultation on whether the law on short pitch bowling is fit for the modern game in an attempt to spark a national debate. Mm. So the present law, Dave, permits bouncers up to head height with anything above that deemed a no ball.
Yep.
But with an increased focus on a number of sports players' safety, and in particular concussion, MCC wants to look again at whether the law needs changing. Why don't we check in? We've all got an opinion, but it's outranked by a country mile by those blokes who have done it and been there and been plying their trade in Test cricket for many a day. Let's check in with the great Merv Hughes. How are you, Merv?
Hello, Mick. How are you? All right?
I'm okay. I'm a bit knocked around by this development. And as someone who was fairly adversarial when it came to batsmen, it is a polite way of putting it.
And just can we clarify something? I did ply my trade about 25, 26 years ago. So put it in context.
I do put it in context, and we know that. But I put it to you that there was a great sea change when helmets came in. Mm. Even that, I think, put the balance of power further into the batsman's hands. But I put it to you that if there's not some degree of intimidation or the idea that you could be physically hurt, it basically changes the whole nature of how Test cricket is played. Is that fair?
That is correct. So I'm all for the bouncer being ruled out altogether if batsmen don't wear pads. So you've got to give the bowler something back, don't you?
Fair call.
A little bit of give and take, Mick. A little bit of give and take. I'm just saying that bowlers can't bowl bouncers. That's like saying, right, we're going to make Aussie rules football a non-contact sport. And at Flemington on Saturday, the jockeys can't ride horses. There'll be no horses at Flemington. Okay, so it's just ridiculous. It's part of the game. And then have a talk to Viv Richards and Richie Richardson about no bouncers. If there's no bouncers, they wouldn't be able to score because all they did was play hook shots.
It is the intimidation factor, and it's the tenseness and why you go and see Test cricket, because it's the greatest contest. And you can't do it in any other form of the game. But here, I mean, every batsman's faced a bit of chin music. The hardest thing with bowlers with me was to choose which chin. They kind of...
the other thing that we've got to remember too is that it's been virtually wiped out of the one-day game. It's out of the 2020 game. And like you say, Test match cricket is a test. It's a test of courage. It's a test of ability. It's a test of nutrition. All that sort of stuff. It's fantastic. But the thing about it is, you ever talk to bowlers, when they bowl a bouncer, they're not trying to hit the batsman. They're trying to get the batsman out. And if you're trying to hit the batsman, what you're trying to do is get it virtually from waist to shoulder, so you're hitting them in the ribs. If you're bowling a bouncer short enough to go over shoulder high, what you're trying to do is get the batsman to hook the ball in the air down to fine leg. So it's not about hitting the batsman. It's about taking a wicket. And people just think that people that bowl bouncers are trying to hit batsmen. That's not the case.
It's not the case, but I think he secretly did enjoy it on occasion.
You're right.
But there is that element of doubt that you put into a batsman, and you can see the best batsman in the world, and if you have to face Shoaib Akhtar in those first two overs, you know, you'll be thinking about that over the luncheon break. If I had my way, I would make the Beamer a legal delivery.
Now, that's a step too far.
If
you can't bounce a ball and put the batsman under pressure, no, I'm dead against that Beamer. But you may remember a test match at the MCG, Mick, and yep. I reckon you've been to every MCG test match in the last 50 years. But yes. Pakistan played Australia. The first half hour, 45 minutes, Shoaib Akhtar bowling to Justin Langer.
Yes.
And it was just awesome. Just the crowd was on the edge of the seat.
Yep.
Justin Langer's ducking and weaving and sort of standing up to Shoaib Akhtar saying, come on, mate, just bring it on. Let's go. And Shoaib Akhtar's getting stuck into it.
It was a battle. And I remember those dodgy West Indian pitches when Steve Waugh and I think Langer again used to stand up and used to come into the dressing rooms covered in bruises.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with dodgy wickets. Something to do with the fast bowlers from the West Indies who were very, very good.
It was a reasonable lineup. If I had my way, underarm would be illegal. The whole thing would be legal. Hey, Merv, we're saying it seriously, and we understand what they're trying to do and protect juniors and stuff like this. But at the top level and test cricket, I think, I put this to you, Merv, if there was no sense that I could get injured, I could play at test level.
Well, that's, I think anyone could, to be honest, Mick. And I think you're selling yourself short there of seeing you play, Mick. You're a very courageous man. But the big thing about it, they've brought in helmets, they've brought in chest guards, they've done it. And people say that batsmen aren't the same now because they wear helmets. It's a workplace safety issue. So the players are probably better off without the helmets, to be honest, because then they learn to watch the ball.
You're dead right on that one. Yeah, they feel a bit invincible and it factors into their decision. Mm. What about this? Let them keep their pads, Merv, but no box.
Oh, man.
No, mate. Anyone that's ever played cricket just cringed at that, Mick.
That's right. Hey, good on you, Merv. So great to touch base. What have you been up to? You've changed a bit since you've entered the Hall of Fame, I've got to say. Yeah.
Just been high flying the last 2 weeks there. This first class AFL. Oh, there's no flight.
Oh, that's right.
Good on you, Merv. Well have a jar
Cheers,
soon.
Boys. Merv Hughes Cheers, joining boys. Us there. This is Malloy on Triple M.
This is Malloy.
Jim Jefferies to join us in just a few minutes, and being a Thursday as well, gone wild as we look at the animal kingdom. Love a Thursday.
You're not going to believe a story involving a fish.
Okay.
And a flotation device. That's all I'm going to say.
Hello.
You need to hang all around. Right. I've heard some wacky stories on Gone Wild because I love the animal kingdom, but this is beyond the pale. Hey, we were doing one job before, and we didn't have time to squeeze Kimberly through. How are you, Kimberly?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, really good. So who had one job?
So we did a job. I'm a landscaper and we were at a kindergarten doing a paving job and we've laid the slab. It's all beautiful. Took all day. And they sent us a photo, the kindergarten teachers, of little footprints all over the slab.
Oh, no.
They had one job to do here. The kids inside and...
Hang on, you've laid a slab and the workers have let the kids out onto it.
Oh no. I
want to go and see that childcare centre. That to me is like a work of art. That's like an installation.
Yeah. Not when you're doing the slab, it's not a
That's
work of
right.
art.
That's right, ruining your work.
There's probably two kids stuck there still, up to their ankles.
I'm surprised they
weren't. Hey, give us something, Dave.
That's a case of Brick Lane for you, Kimberly, courtesy of well Malloy. You'll enjoy some froppies on us. Well done.
Thank you so much.
It's the draft. A pleasure. It's at as we speak at Dan Murphy's. You've been inundated, you said, Dave. People have been ringing you up going, where can I get this?
Messages every day at DangerousDaveW on Twitter from people asking. I thought I'd get which
Yeah, good work.
People asking, how do I get Brick Lane? Where do I get it from? And so Dan Murphy's is your first point of call. But of course, other independent liquor retailers sell it as well. But I'm telling you, the IPA, get on the IPA if you're after a really good Brick Lane. It's a
You just steal beer. It from my desk. Hey, time for a bit of this.
All right.
Jay, the Song Whisperer.
Okay, hey, can we just begin by saluting one of our long-term workers here at Triple M, Andrea Cole.
Yes.
How many years, Dave?
36 years with this company. That's incredible, isn't it?
An amazing shift. She's been here for as long as I can remember, and she's the best in the business.
She's one of our engineers, so she, you know, keeps us. She pumps the wattage out of the cottage for this network, and she goes down to football matches. And I mean, she is hands-on one of the best people you'll ever meet, and great technician.
Congratulations, Andrea. Well, all right, what's the song? Give us the synopsis, Song Whisperer.
Andrea, also one of the only people at Southern Cross Stereo with an appreciation for the band Rush.
She does, it's one too.
I love it about her. Yeah. It's just, we have Rush conversations all the time.
See, oh, I want in on that. That's another chat group you've got going behind my back, is it, Jay? All right, the synopsis, please?
A longtime resident is remembering his city, but not with the warmth of nostalgia, but rather with the angry resentment of decisions that destroyed what was in reality and what was ignored in potential. Money talks, power corrupts, and there is no explanation that can explain the move toward progress for the sake of progress.
I built this city.
Starship.
Oh,
Starship.
Not Starship.
Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Oh. Not Pink Floyd either.
Dave, have you got anything?
Would it happen to be Birthday Girl, Yoko Ono, with a cover of this song? Big Shot.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Dave. Red card, Dave. That, if I thought Billy Joel could not sound any worse.
Oh, I've never wanted to hear Billy Joel more.
Wow, I'm going to say no. 1-3-3-5-3
This is Malloy. Time to gather back around your wireless, people. Here comes the big second hour of Malloy.
Very close to Jim Jefferies' time, live from LA. The satellite's moving into place as we speak. It's always ripe. It's always great. We can't wait to catch in with the great Jefferies. Also, gone wild, Dave. Is there a story about turtles that have gone sooky lala?
Yeah, now we had the penguins last week and now the turtles are gone soft. What's going on with the animal kingdom?
The old animal kingdom is soft.
Yeah.
I tell you, we'll have an update from my desk. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. But let's start at the top.
Yeah, the Song Whisperer.
With the big fella, Jay Mondo. Synopsis again, please.
Okie dokie. A longtime resident is remembering his city, but not with the warmth of nostalgia, but rather with the angry resentment of decisions that destroyed what was in reality and what was ignored in potential. Money talks, power corrupts, and there is no explanation that can explain the move toward progress for the sake of progress.
So is it a political song?
Ooh. You could be onto something, Mickey.
Is it angry?
Oh, yeah.
It, like, tipped furniture over angry?
Sure.
Like, headbanger angry?
Headbanger. We're a little bit slower
let's
pace.
Let's not give it away.
Sorry, Dave. Okay. Sorry, mate. Hey, come get back to me when you know the names of Neil Finn's sons, please.
Oh, come on. It was an innocent mistake.
For a top DJ,
it
was a cardinal sin, and two of our callers, tip of the iceberg,
I got
basically.
Elliot and Elroy mixed up. You can see my mistake, can't you?
You'll be blaming Neil for naming them incorrectly shortly. Julian's on the line. Julian, guess, please.
Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty.
Oh, tune.
I miss the saxophone solo.
Yeah.
You know, Bruce Springsteen used to do a few. There was a few in the E Street Band.
Yeah, George Michael.
George Michael.
Quarter Flash.
Kenny G.
Not Jerry Rafferty.
In terms of clarinet solo.
Not
Never
Baker
again.
Street.
It's Never
not
again.
Not!
Oh.
No. No. Sorry.
We weren't even listening. We weren't even paying attention to the song.
The same.
Hey, bad luck. Duke him, though, Dave.
Oh, okay. Case of Brick Lane, Julian.
All right. Greg's on the line. That, Greg. Man.
G'day, Mickey.
Yeah, guess, please.
I'm thinking it's Born to Run by The Boss.
Oh.
By The Boss. I think we'll play Born to Run, but have we got the version from the 90s?
Sure,
I
think the satellites from Asbury Park are lining up again. And,
come on, windy tramps like us. Baby, we were born to run.
That was a bad night for Bruce.
Bad night for the roadies. Wow. You know, they've got enough on their plate. They don't want to be getting out there with a mop and bucket.
It is no.
No. Hey, Dookie,
sorry,
mate.
Greg. Oh, Brick Lane coming your way, Greg. Everyone's a winner today. Well done, mate.
Much. Wow.
Do you want to give him some IPA instead of the draft?
Oh, well, gosh. You're the buyer. You own the brewery, so it's your call, mate. Yeah,
wow,
you happy to
I
do
brew
that?
It. I personally brew
do
it.
Do you? You go down there and...
Well, no, I don't.
Laverne and Shirley style.
Drive
gloves and...
Okay, thank you. Simon's on the line. Simon, guess, please.
All right, the Gunners, ooh. Paradise City.
Yeah.
That's got to go close.
I reckon.
That is right in our wheelhouse. We would play that.
We would.
When
we
talking
have
about
before.
The city. And?
Not correct.
Jeez, oh. Elise.
I know.
Bad luck, Simon. Duke him, Dave.
Oh, Brick Lane for you as well, Simon.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Entire case
Andrew,
coming our way.
Come on, Andrew. Beat this home. What do we got?
Hey, Nick. How are you?
Good, mate. What do you
think? I'm thinking it's an Aussie band, All Torn Down by the Living End.
Oh!
I've said it before, I've been in their mosh pit
yeah.
on an inflatable couch. It's a true story. It exists.
One
the
of the greatest
somewhere.
Live bands you will ever,
they are
ever,
unbelievable,
ever
and we love them here at the House of M's. Yeah. They are royalty. And, Jay?
Correct.
Bang!
Oh, you got it.
Beautiful.
You got it, Andrew.
Wonderful song.
You got yourself a case of Brick Lane. Plus, on top of that, is getting the song right with the Song Whisperer. We've got $100 in vouchers coming your way, so
too
you can
good.
Spend whatever you want to do with, mate. Congratulations.
Party at my house.
Yeah, party at your house. Absolutely. Well done. Thanks for calling the Song Whisperer. That's back again tomorrow. But up next, it's Jim Jefferies. This is Malloy on Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Love a Thursday. This time of the week, this time of the day, we get to speak with Jim Jefferies from the USA joining
the
us
the great
right
man.
Now.
Hey. He's in the house. He's looking good. How are you, Jimbo?
I'm good. I'm all right, yeah.
Well, you're looking fantastic.
I'm in a bit of pain at the moment, to be honest with you.
And why is that?
I just got my second vaccine. The first vaccine, they shove in your arm and it hurts a bit. The second one, it turns out there's a few side effects.
What is that? You know, what are you experiencing?
My arm's all swollen up, my joints are a bit sore and I have headaches, but my assistant, he started freezing in the middle of the night and his teeth are chattering. Look, I don't know. I might be helping out the anti-vaxxers here with a bit of, you know. And my assistant Jack's starting to look like Sloth from the Goonies. So something wrong's happened.
Oh, no. But do you feel now invincible? Do you feel like you could just go out now and pash strangers?
Yeah, I've been doing that anyway, but now I feel less guilt.
That's right.
I feel like I had COVID like a year ago or something like that, so I don't know. But but maybe I feel a little bit better.
But I would think, having been what we've been through, having had your second vaccination would be like a superpower.
Don't you, sitting in Melbourne, say to me, going through what we've been through? What we've been through. You've been out, you've done things, you get to watch State of Origin, you have no idea. How many people do you personally know who has COVID?
Well,
none.
I've got about four of them living in this house.
Well, I have an anal swab every day. Not from a doctor, but just in case, you know, just for preventative measures.
I just got myself one of those Toto toilets for my birthday. What I do now is I buy myself birthday gifts because no one buys gifts like you can for yourself, right?
Well, that's sad. Yeah.
So I got the NX1. Toto toilet from Japan, right? This thing does everything, right? It's $7,000. It's a big toilet, right? And it sprays water up your ass, and then it dries it off with a dryer, and it has a warm seated heat. The only thing it doesn't have is a little stick to push me hemorrhoid back up. That's like, I feel like the technology's very close, and the Japanese are working on it right as we speak.
Does it have like a seat warmer, like you have in expensive cars?
When you walk into the toilet, it disinfects itself. It has no rim. It has a tornado. Anything.
Wow.
And the bowl lights up so you don't have to turn the light on, and the lid lifts up like as to welcome you, like, hello, Jim. Like that, right? Now, I paid a plumber to come and do it, and he goes, oh, I'll just check the line and all that type of stuff. And he put the camera down the sewage line like that. And then, you know, I paid him what I paid him to install the toilet. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I found a cracked pipe in your front yard from your sewage pipe. It's probably been like that for a couple of years, and it will get worse. And now I have to pay like $10,000 to fix that and dig up me. That's like when you go to the doctor and you go, oh, I've got a sore nose, and they go, lung cancer. And you're like, no, I just...
I get it, mate. Yeah. It's no good. You know, have you heard the latest toilet they've got? And this is one from Japan again. But it has AI technology and it examines your stool and gives you information. So your toilet is basically giving you a medical. So you'll take a dump and it'll go... Lay off the burritos, Mick. When it comes to a medical opinion, I want a second opinion other than my toilet.
I'll tell you what, on the last podcast we did, it hasn't come out yet, but the guest was the guitarist from Toto, the band, right? And I thought it would be a good talking point to mention that I just bought a toilet that was also called Toto, and he wasn't as excited.
It plays Africa every time you take it.
Hold the line.
By the way, that podcast is called I Don't Know About That with Jim Jefferies, and it's a ripper. Oh, and that's a great birthday present. Have you ever thought of getting something from Goop?
Is Goop that Gwyneth Paltrow's company where she sells you vagina eggs or something like that? Or
candles, yeah.
Well, she had a candle called Smells Like My Vagina, which I ordered, by the way, and have it.
Really?
She's just brought out a vibrator, which she's marketing, which sold out and has a waiting list. I'm guessing you're on it, of course.
Yeah.
But I just thought, I hope that's not called Smells Like My Vagina, because I think that could be taking it too far. Can you hang around, Jim Jefferies?
We're about to do another break.
Yep. Let's get cracking.
More with Jim after this.
A drive home that's always unpredictable. This is Malloy.
And he's joining us from LA. He's got the podcast. I don't know about that. It's Jim Jefferies on Triple M.
He's hot off the Toto toilet, which is the NX1. It makes me think what the NX2 is.
I'll tell you what's happening with the NX1 upstairs, right? The bloody NX1. The plumbers came over this morning to fit the actual toilet, and they're doing the grouting around the bottom and all that type of stuff, sealing it all up. And the guy goes to me, he goes, it's all installed, and I'd been banking it up all day. Like, I hadn't had one yesterday because I wanted to take it for a spin. And I was very excited. He goes, you've got to leave the grouting about 24 hours before you can use it. So all I do is I walk in there and watch the lid lift up and stuff, but I haven't sat on it yet. But there's a lot of expectations.
My toilet would need those heat-resistant tiles they have on the bottom of the space shuttle. That's the type of technology. Do you get to take it for a test run? Do you go into the store and go with some rolled-up newspaper under one arm?
I've been to Japan before and I've used it. And that was the one thing I remember about my trip from Asia. I can't remember much else, but that was the one thing that was like, I was like, they had the raw fish in those toilets that they had. Very good.
There seems to be cutting-edge technology in Japan. They're fascinated with this kind of stuff. They should get together with Gwyneth Paltrow and develop a toilet. Hey, a sad death, a sad passing that you wanted to talk about.
So Rush Limbaugh died today, people are all going on about that in the news, and he was a horrible person. And then,
he wasn't nice.
Last week we were talking about Larry Flint dying.
Yeah.
And then before I came on the show, I was seeing people who died this year. How did I miss Phil Spector? He just went under the radar completely.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, wasn't it? Yeah,
he died, Phil Spector. Now, you can say what you want. Like, let's not forget, he was a killer, so he probably should have been tried for that. That probably should have been the main focus. But everyone went on about him wearing bloody wigs. They all went, he's wearing wigs. He's a disgrace. Yeah. I'm pro-wig. I like wigs.
Would you wear one yourself, Jim?
Oh, look, I've had a hair transplant. My whole head of hair is smoking mirrors. I mean, I take pills to make me keep my hair, but they stop me from getting an erection. But the point is, if I don't keep my hair, I don't get sex anyway. So it's a bloody catch-22.
It's a catch-22. This is unbelievable.
But the thing about the wigs is, everyone's always going, look at that bloke. He's pathetic. He's wearing a wig. And you're like, well, if a woman gets hair extensions, we don't go up to her and go, you can't grow it that long. You're an embarrassment. She's just having a bit of fun.
That's right. I put it to you, if women went bald, the quality of wigs would be a lot better. They wouldn't be mucking around. There'd be no combing over. There'd be none of those bad hairdos. You'd be hard to pick.
Look, I might get in trouble for saying this, right? And I'm not transphobic in any way. Whatever sex you want to be, that's up to you, right?
Sure.
But whenever somebody goes, they want to convert from being a female to a male, I'm all for that. But why doesn't one of them, just one of them, take it the extra mile? They always keep the thick head of hair that they had from being a woman. They never shave in the horseshoe. Why can't they shave in the horseshoe and really commit to the job?
How many hair out coming out your nose? Come on.
Yeah, like an eyebrow that grows up 2 inches.
Join us on the dark side. I'm talking about Phil Spector. I can't help thinking that, if you were at that funeral, you'd hope it wasn't an open coffin.
Right.
Because he didn't look great towards the end, did he? He looked actually like he was a walking cadaver for the last year or so of his trial.
Well, that was the thing. When I found out he died, I was really upset because I thought he died years ago and I feel like I've gone through it twice now,
We're going to have to wrap it up, Jim. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Mate, you are now COVID.
Yeah.
You can go and sneeze on the buffet. You can start swinging again.
I'm coming back to Australia to tour as soon as possible now that I'm COVID-free.
We cannot wait.
I'm back.
And don't forget, I Don't Know About That with Jim Jefferies, the podcast. It's bloody funny. You're a legend, mate. Thanks for swinging by.
Thanks for having me.
Jim Jefferies, Malloy on Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Gone Wild. It's Thursday. Yeah. I love it. It's my favourite segment because I just can't get enough of the animal kingdom and their wacky antics. They're always up to something, never fail to amuse. And my favourite story of the week is the bear release that went horribly wrong.
Now, bears shouldn't be in cages, by the way.
You know I love bears. I feel if I was an animal, I would be a bear.
I think you would.
Because I like to hibernate.
Like a grizzly.
Got a short temper.
Yeah, real sort of nasty, sort of angry sort of bear.
Been known to charge a tourist.
Yes, that's right.
Well, people were forced to run for their lives when six bears, and this is what I love, were being released back into the wild, turned and charged on the crowd who were releasing them.
Well done, bears.
Hey, they've been thinking about that for the last 6 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, guys, let us go.
Come over.
Yeah, go. Open the cage door. We'll be right. We'll just run off and then turn and maul you. It reminds me of the case, and I think it was an American zoo, and the chimpanzees, and there was a particularly mean zookeeper.
Right.
One day the chimps had made a breakout. And they ran straight past the good zookeeper and went to the bad zookeeper, gang tackled him, and ripped off his genitalia.
Wow. Oh, my God.
I think they made their point.
Jeez.
I think they may have been stewing on that one for a while.
So be good to chimps. That's the story. That's the
and
moral.
And bears, don't put them in cages. Nah, don't make them ride tricycles
Correct.
At the circus. And if you do, at least make them wear a hat with a propeller on top. That's all I'm saying.
Give them a picnic basket. Yep.
Now let's go to the world, the watery world, and have a look at what's happening in the fish department. Let's get Jay involved here.
Sure.
Jay, firstly...
Yes.
How are you going at home? How is your niece?
Niece
who,
Olivia?
Let's say, is showing all the signs making a body out of human skin.
When serial killer is what you are implying.
She's only eight.
Well, I am implying that because those offenders have something in their dark past when they were young. And how many fish has she murdered?
Olivia has had two fish previously, and they both died. Moonlight and Moonlight 2.
Moonlight 2. All right. So is she done?
Well, no. There are now five new fish in the house.
So you're playing a numbers game now, aren't you? You're going, one in five chance of survival. Yeah. So what are the new fish? They're not the same, are they?
No, two goldfish, one named Buttercup, one named Spots, because it has spots. Mm. And then there are three smaller fish of an unknown kind that like to be around goldfish, and they are named Orange, Lime, and Lemon.
Okay, if I was a betting man, who's she going to take out first?
Spots is
not looking great.
Spots is on the ropes.
Yep.
Well, speaking of on the ropes, here's a fish, and this amazing. I love this story. A disabled fish, right? And there comes a time when you got to say enough's enough, and I can't save this animal,
right?
But a woman has made waves in the UK. After outfitting a disabled goldfish with a customized life jacket so it wouldn't sink.
Aww.
Okay, you've got too much spare time on your hands. That is not
that's
right.
Adorable. Little
that's
fish.
Your pet. You gotta...
It's going to make it a lot easier to find Nemo. That's him. A stupid fish with a life jacket. Hey, listen, you're a fish. You're a fish. You got one job. Swim. A fish with a life jacket is a disgrace to
all
concerned.
Do you think there's a bit of natural selection going on there if your fish can't swim?
Yep. Imagine catching that. What the hell? Imagine that on a line. What the hell? Get off. Imagine that turning up in your fisherman's basket. You're having a bistro, you're having a chip, you're having a scallop. You go, well, this looks like, what the hell is that? He's wearing a straitjacket.
Poor little fishy.
There it is. Okay, before we go to the break, I've got another story here.
Okay, go on.
An 8-year-old border collie named Lulu has inherited $5 million. Yep. The owner's last will and testament has made the 8-year-old border collie a wildly rich dog. It's got a caretaker. So she was 83-year-old. She left all her money, $5 million, to a border collie.
To the dog.
And you can tell when it's out with the other dogs because it's the one with the champagne bucket on its head. and when you smack it on the nose with a rolled-up newspaper, it insists it's the Financial Review.
Real snobby dog.
And in its house, it's got Perrier toilet water, which is its favourite. And when he produces the lipstick, it's from Chanel. and he only humps cushions that come from Hermes. All right, we're going to do more on the other side of this.
Gone Wild, part two right after this.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
And I've got a story for you. Mick.
And, oh, we're talking Gone Wild, are
and
we?
And Song Whisperer, yeah, because we're talking about the animal. This thing popped up my feed the other day.
Australia Post.
When you go to the post office these days, it's
you
not...
All you should be able to get is a letter or a stamp.
Some stamps, a letter, some boxes.
Or maybe a box.
Yeah, or a pack or something.
So what's going on now?
So now, though, you go into a post office and it's full of merch because you've always got to stand in line now, 1.5 metres apart, and they try to trick you with all their merch they've got there. So there's
it's called an impulse buy. They try and get you with an impulse buy while you're waiting in there.
Well, there is one particular item that has gone cocoa bananas, to use one of your words, Mick. It's the flippity fish. And what it is...
The flippity fish.
It's
a cat toy.
Well, it's a cat toy, right? So what it is, it's $25. It looks like a real fish, and it wiggles when it's touched. So you give it to your cat, it puts its paw on the fish, and it flips around. Anyway, wow. Sold out. 8,000. They don't have any more in stock, and they're going to have to ship more in because the flippity fish is a sellout.
Can I just say, it sounds like something Gwyneth Paltrow would produce. So it's a fish, and then it twitches.
Yep.
And I don't know what it smells like, but,
no,
you know.
That's, yeah.
So what does that tell you about cats? So the ultimate toy for a cat is the torturing and manipulation of a fish.
Yeah.
They are a nasty bunch.
You see cats, when they have a toy that they like, they do torture it. They play around with it.
Mm.
They keep it alive. They pick it up. They throw it back down.
And I'm not that keen on their presence either. You know,
cats are okay.
A dead bird is a rat. Yes. Is a dead bird.
They bring it to you like a gift.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Never give a cat your bridal registry. You'll end up with something woofy on your doorstep that you don't particularly like. Hey, I've got a story here that's interesting, mate. Now, you know, last week, I think we told a story about the stupid penguins.
Oh, well,
they had to come in because they were too cold.
Mm, that's right.
The penguins were too cold, so they had to come in. Well, I don't know what's happening, but wildlife is going soft. In Texas, where they've had like a real cold snap, people are rescuing thousands of cold, stunned sea turtles.
Oh,
and they've put them in a convention center where they've been given the whole spa treatment.
A little blankie.
You're turtles. you swim in the ocean.
That's it.
That's what you do. Well, here's the deal. How bad could it be that the turtle goes, I don't like it anymore? I mean, when I jump into cold water, you go, oh. That's because it's not my natural habitat.
Yep.
But your natural habitat is the ocean.
That's right. Hard enough.
You're wrinkly. You wrinkle up.
Yeah. Shrinking.
How long do they live for?
Oh, over 100 years they can. There was one that was documented at 180 last week. So, yeah, they're old.
They'd all get a letter from the Queen. Every turtle.
Well, the turtles are being brought in because it's a part of America that is usually very warm, that is suffering from a whole lot of cold.
Right.
So you're defending the turtles?
I'm sticking up for the South Padre Island turtles.
But in
so
nature,
they're like Florida turtles. What, they just wear like Speedos and a suntan.
That's right. Very small shells.
tiny shells that only just cover their modesty.
That's
Jay,
right.
You've got a story you'd like to bring
to
the
table. Here's
a
headline for you, Mick. Pigs can play video games with their snouts.
Show me that. I want to go to see that.
So these pigs, they were trained to use an arcade-style joystick, and what they did is they then steered an on-screen cursor into the wall, so they were able to figure out that if they moved the joystick, it would then move what they could see on the screen.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's pigs fantastic. Are
four pigs, they're named Hamlet, Ebony, and Ivory, and Omelet.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. I think Omelet's days are numbered.
Yeah.
Things aren't boding well for Omelet. Ebony, Ivory, and what? Hamlet.
Hamlet. And according to the article, Hamlet was better at the game than Omelet, but both struggled when the levels got harder.
Right.
Wow.
So they couldn't clock it.
No.
And what happens if they win?
Well, they would get food at the time, but the thing is that during the experiment, even when the food ran out, they kept playing. So they liked it.
And they do look a lot like those fat guys on couches.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Who haven't been outside for a while.
Yeah.
Mate, this is great. I'm going to get all four of those pigs, invite them around to my place, and we're going to have a game.
Yeah.
This sounds good. And they play for food.
Yeah.
Pigs like food unless it's an apple in their mouth.
Okay.
Then they're cooked. We're done.
That's Gone Wild. This is Malloy on Triple M.
For the drive home, this is Malloy.
Missed any of today's show? Get the podcast. Why don't you download the new listener app too? That's an easy way to get a hold of Malloy here on Triple M. Tomorrow
what's
on the show.
What's a new app? Why have we got a new
listener
app?
Listener. Well, this is a corporate thing that we're all involved with. It's brilliant, by the way. It's like kind
I
of
never agreed to this.
This is awkward now, isn't it?
What am I on?
Yeah, you're on it. Yep.
All right. Do I sound good?
You sound great.
Anyway, List NR. So List NR is...
Come up on your chat group that I wasn't involved in?
We're all across it. We had a meeting with Fitzy about it the other day that you were involved with. Anyway, that's where you get the podcast. And tomorrow, we've got Glenn Robbins on the show.
Fantastic. Cannot wait.
Yeah, huge.
We've got to ask him about the porno that was shot in the Kath and Kim house.
Oh, yeah.
See if he's got an opinion on that. All right. Well, that sounds pretty good. Jay, I understand another big Powerball tonight. Or Oslo, what is it?
$50 million tonight, Mick, in Powerball. Gamble responsibly.
And we're in? We've got the team ticket?
Well, there is a team ticket, Mick, but we need to talk.
Oh.
About what?
Well, you haven't paid for the last two team tickets.
But I told you, I can't get any cash out.
Everybody else has paid. Everyone else has found a way to pay.
It's not acceptable, mate.
$14.
What are you saying?
You've got to pay
$0.56. If I don't pay, how much?
$14.56. That'll cover you for the last two tickets.
Oh, I'm good for it. No.
If we win, what about you can't win.
I've got an idea for you.
Okay.
Because I have no cash on me, and I don't know how to get cash out.
I know.
So I don't deal in cash. That's just the way I roll. Right. Bitcoin, yes, I can help you.
Yeah.
I've got a proposal. So Whitney's been trying to clean up my desk. Now
for three and a half years.
What a job.
She's been keen to do it. So what about this? You have a look at all the items on my desk and you can choose one. Treat it like the gift shop, the sale of the century gift shop, and you can choose any item you like that I think is less basically to the value of $14. I mean, a lot of these are priceless. And you can take your pick. What do you reckon?
Okay. All right.
What's okay, there? Whitney, tell him what he can take.
Okay, you could get a case of Carlton Draft. It expired in 2017, and it's a sun-faded box, possibly gifted to Mick at the launch of Kennedy Malloy 3.5 years ago.
Oh,
it's
all yours.
You could get a bottle of Bundaberg ginger beer with Mick's face on it, with the words, "We love your work, Mick."
Priceless.
There's a bottle of AFL limited edition Eau de Toilette. The bottle is wearing a Richmond jumper.
Okay.
Oh, come on. There's like something Gwyneth Paltrow would really.
A little bit behind each ear.
Is the bottle in a Richmond jumper?
It is.
Yes.
Well, thank you. That's a bit too ritzy for the $14 price range. Keep going.
Cricket Australia top with the word Malloy on the back.
Oh, that's good.
Hello, girls. That'll be like lingerie in the boudoir.
This is interesting. There's signed boxing gloves from Danny Green.
Oh.
I don't think that's in the $14 price range. Yes, and?
There's a campaign 2016 Road to the White House Donald Trump vinyl figure, whatever that is.
Oh, yeah, pop vinyl, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, one more.
A signed Kookaburra cricket bat, signed by Moonman, Kerry O'Keefe and other scratch signatures.
I wouldn't have thought so. There you go. Anything else? One more. Come on, give him one more.
Ah, where do we go? A Richmond FC pump spring water bottle. It's empty.
All right, Jay, do you need some thinking music or have you made your decision?
No, I'm going to go with the... I'll leave the Danny Green boxing gloves for somebody else. I'm going to take the Bundaberg ginger beer bottle.
With my face on it?
That's it.
And you're going to put it on your desk?
I'll hold on to it.
That's all you've
done.
You transferred it from my desk.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And I'll put it next to Alice Cooper's Diet Coke can.
It's your.
Please take it home. Please.
Alice Cooper's can priceless. You can't put that up unless it's a real big prize. All right, you get the idea. Are we good? We're cool.
Done, mate. That's a show.
That's a deal.
That is the show for today. As I mentioned earlier, can't wait. Friday, Glenn Robbins dropping by. That'll be tomorrow. Oh, and Clown of the Week, too. You get your nominations in early if you want. Hit us up on Facebook. If it works.
Well done.
Malloy.
This has been the Malloy Drive Show Podcast.